Wow, good food. By the way, the Shalom Burger ladies made my wife and I keto food. That was very thoughtful of you. You robbed me of my excuse to eat the good stuff. So I don't keto is no sugar, no bread, no fun. So, but I seriously really appreciate that. Great food. Thank you everyone for that. That was wonderful. And this is what every pastor wants to do, is preach in the afternoon after everyone has eaten. So anybody tired? Anybody tired in here? Yeah? And the rest of you are liars. You're all tired. I know it. So I know the crowd to whom I speak, and I know you're tired, and we're going to have to keep this short. Even the most spiritual will be nodding in agreement before too long, all right? So it'll be a shorter conclusion to the message in Philippians chapter 4. I'm tempted to do this. If I was at my church right now, because we do have afternoon services every once in a while, I would say we need to defrag the auditorium. And only someone in the early days of Microsoft Windows would understand that. It's where you take all the pieces of the information, you pile it all together. So defragging the auditorium, getting you, because you guys are like so spread out. But I won't do that. You're in your comfy seats. You can stay so long as we're awake. Amen? Okay. Philippians chapter 4. We're gonna read. I won't make you stand, but we're going to read from the beginning to get the context of where we were this morning in Philippians chapter 4. Did I turn this on? Okay, good. And our focus in the second half is verses 8 and 9. Verses 1 through 7, you could sum that up as what? That's the defense. That's the defense. Now we're going to look at the offense. Very good. Okay. Philippians 4 verse 1 says this: "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful," that means don't be full of care, "be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren," here we are to our text, "whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Where the real battle lies, this is the offensive part of the message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray in these next few brief moments as we discuss the offensive side of putting the right things into our heart and mind, that you would give us understanding and clarity. Let the Spirit of God convict where he needs to convict and help where he needs to help. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Euodias and Syntyche, we raked them over the coals pretty good in the first hour. Boy, that would be difficult, as we discussed, to deal with an issue that had to be dealt with in the church, to be able to overcome that. It's no small challenge. And it's easy to fixate on joy-stealing, peace-robbing circumstances in our life that can move us away from the peace of God. And so, as we discuss, Paul lays out a defensive strategy for keeping the peace of God in your heart. Number one is stand together in the Lord. Number two is stay near to the Lord. And number three, he highlights in this passage, is strive in prayer with the Lord. But as we come to verse 8, we transition from a defensive strategy to an offensive strategy. This is the best offense for your heart and your mind. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Certainly, we must be vigilant to protect our heart and mind from what would rob us of peace and joy, but we must also be proactive in putting the right things into our heart and mind. For this, we need to know how to filter our thinking. I've contemplated preaching this message and bringing in marbles just to keep people attentive. But you can imagine if you had a big container with several layers, filtered layers of different size holes, and you got marbles from large to small, and you can imagine, you can see it in your mind, you drop the marbles into the top and they filter their way down, and the bigger items are stuck on the top and the medium items in the middle and the small items at the bottom, and only the smallest get all the way through. Well, you have to imagine this verse as a thought filter, because we have all kinds of thoughts, good ones, bad ones, and everything in between. And if you want to keep the right things in your heart and mind, you have to filter your thinking. Well, how do we do that? Well, with every thought, you have a choice to make. That's why it says this: think on these things. That implies a choice, right? Amen, Pastor, that's right. That implies a choice. You can agree with me. It's okay. It won't hurt you. I won't bite. With each one of these things, the implication is you have a choice. When it says think on these things, the implication is you got to choose to do that. So the first is this: whatsoever things are true. I want you to write this down if you're inclined to take notes. What ifs are never true. They can only be possibilities. Have you ever thought what if thinking? Anybody? Yeah. What if I don't have a job next week? What if my wife gets cancer, like Pastor Matt was mentioning? If you're a mom, what if thinkings, they happen every day quite frequently, especially if you have kids. I mean, and there are certain what if thinking. You women, us men, we don't fully understand you, but you think things like this. I've heard this from so many women. This is strange. This is odd. What if I'm driving down the road and I lose control of the car and I veer off the road and we go into a ditch and it flips upside down and there's water and I have two kids in the back seat and then I have to choose which ones to save? What am I going to do in that situation? That's the most crazy thing I've ever heard. And you would not believe how many moms have thought that very same thought. Because what if thinking is like, it plagues us, does it not? But here's the thing. A what if is not true. It's only a possibility. You know what you need to do with what-if thinking? Remove it. God does not give you permission to think what-if thinking. I was shocked. Don's retiring. You don't look 80. That's impressive. And then on top of that, having a rock business all the way to now. I mean, I bet they're thinking like, what if the business doesn't do well after I leave? And how's things going to work out? And what's our retirement going to look like? Anybody think? What if thoughts? I'm not. They apply to everybody. There's just one problem. They're not true. They're only possibilities. And the Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Okay, you see the filter? Okay, Pastor, this is a truth. What's the next filter? Honest thinking. Whatsoever things are honest, things that lift the mind to what is noble. It's the same way we would use the term an honest day's wage. You know what that means, right? It's not that we were dishonest, but like we gave our best. And it's uplifting. We've done our best. We've contributed the best that we could. We earned an honest day's wage. And that's the use of the term here. It means to think the best of others. You know what I found that the best way to understand this filter, whatsoever things are honest, is to understand its antonym. Sometimes to understand a positive, you got to embrace what the negative means, and it's like, oh, okay, I get it. Do you know what the opposite of honest thinking is? Cynical thinking. In the definition of this text, it's not dishonest thinking. In the definition of this text, the opposite of honest thinking is cynical thinking. Don't raise your hand. Are you a cynic? Somebody's like, I'm not raising my hand, but right over there. How many people have cynical thinking? You know what cynical thinking is, right? You don't look at the situation honestly like, hey, I think it's going to turn out great. It's not positive. It's well, you know what? Well, this could happen. Well, what if, you know, what if I get up and all my friends are gone and blah, 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 blah. And I tell you why they really did that. You know what I'm saying? Cynical thinking. There's a thought filter. If you want to have the peace of God in your heart, not only do you need proper defense, keep the junk out, you need to put the right things in. And the right things are not cynical. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things, what's the next? Whatsoever things are just. There's a lot of injustice in the world. Watch the news. It's just constant. Constant injustices all the time. And you can really get bent out of shape focusing on the injustices. Especially if you hang out with me and my brothers and we talk politics, because it's like, there's nothing but injustices. Like, why wouldn't someone take care of this? And people need to go to prison for this. And why hasn't it happened yet? And you can get really bent out of shape looking at injustice in the world, can't you? You go to school and the way people treat you and get away with it. And man, I went to public school for a little bit, Bothell High School, injustice all the time. And you can be filled with bitterness and anger towards other people if you think about the way you were unjustly treated. Or maybe it wasn't a friend. Maybe it was an actual teacher who didn't properly recognize what you've been doing and unjustly treat you. You see what I'm saying? It applies to everyone, old or young, boy or girl. We can all think and focus on injustices. But in the midst of this unjust world, there are some things that are just and good. And you still have the choice to focus on justice. Does that make sense? All will be made right one day, but until that day comes, there are still glimpses of justice to come that we can focus on. Whatsoever things are just. You know you're going to have a really messed up life if all you ever focus on the injustices that were done to you. Don't do that. Put the right things in. How about this? Whatsoever things are pure. Do you know what that means? Without ulterior motive. That's what pure means. Whatsoever things are pure. Without ulterior motive. Maybe a good question to ask is, what do you want to think about that? What do you want to think about that? I am a pastor. People call and talk to me all the time about many things. I get to counsel people. It's my favorite thing to do. Not. But it happens all the time. Even yesterday, someone called in kind of an emergency situation and needed some counsel. And I have a wife. And do you know what my wife wants to know? Everything. Because she's my wife. And I try to keep from her as much as possible. Because I don't want her to be burdened down with those things. She doesn't need those things. And sometimes they're none of her business anyway. Yeah, she's honest. So sometimes the question comes up while my wife is saying, so what did they talk about? And I will say, why do you want to know? Are your motives pure for knowing? Is your desire to help them or just to know? I'm teasing my wife too hard. She's an awesome pastor's wife. But we do have impure motives for thinking things. We don't even need to include anyone else in the conversation. Sometimes we just have thoughts because our own hearts have the motive of having self-pity, and we want to think about something that will give it to us. Sometimes we want to get vengeance in our mind and play out how we're going to get that person back. Therefore, we're going to think certain thoughts. Is that really a pure motive? If it's not, it gets stuck in the filter. Do you see it? It's stuck in the filter. Toss it out. No, we need to get the right thinking in, which means we got to keep the wrong thinking out. We already talked about defense. We're talking about offensive thinking that will protect your heart and mind. Put the right things in, and they have to be pure things. How about this? Whatsoever things are lovely, admirable. That's what that means, lovely. There are things that are pure and just and honest and true that are just not worth talking about. You understand? Last night, we got a call at midnight from this guy, my son. And of course, it rang on my wife's phone, which made it worse. So picture in your mind what wife thinks of son who calls at midnight, who's supposed to be sleeping downstairs. She panics. You know, she's like, "Grant, what's wrong?" And she's like, "Sorry, Mom. I just bumped the button, dialed you. I'm sorry. I'm sleeping." He rolled over on his phone and dialed my wife. And so, you know, that woke us up in the middle of the night. So we're on the way to church this morning. We're driving, and it's, you know, 7 a.m. in the morning, and Mom's frustrated. She looks back like, "Grant, you woke me up in the middle of the night. I had such a hard time sleeping after that. What the first thing I thought of when you dialed me? I thought Grant's been kidnapped and he's telling us where he's at." And I'm like, "That, I'm driving like, that's literally the first thing you thought? When Grant calls, he's been kidnapped. That's the first thought?" That's like, that's not lovely. That's not a lovely thought. It's not, "Oh, Grant is calling me in the middle of the night because he was dreaming about how he loves me and he wanted to call him." That'd be a lovely thought. But Grant's been kidnapped. That's the first thing that comes to mind. No, whatsoever things are lovely. Look, there are plenty of things you can consume your mind upon, and you could make the excuse, "Well, it's true. Well, it's just. Well, it's not a what if. It's an actual thing," and still not be lovely. Friend, put the right things in your mind if you want to protect your heart and mind. It needs to be lovely. It needs to be of good report. Whatsoever things are of good report, that means praiseworthy. Something worth sharing, to offer praise about. With every thought, you have a choice to make. Don't just feed on every thought that comes to your mind. Don't run with every thought. It's not okay. Choose to think the right things. And then it says this, if there be any virtue or praise, think on these things. Is that what the next verse says? Or the end of the verse? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What does that mean? If there be any virtue and if there be any praise. What are we talking about? Well, if there's any redeeming virtue you hope to gain from going through the negative circumstances, in other words, if you don't want your trials to be a waste, you must think rightly about them. Do you know that every trial a Christian goes through does not turn out for good? Wait, it can, but it doesn't have to. I've seen Christians go through trials and be so upset at the trial that their bitterness turns toward God and they leave church. And God and everything, because they don't know how to process their thoughts, that's not a good outcome. Everything you go through, every difficulty, you can't just instantly claim, "Well, God's going to make all things good." No, it's to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There is a condition on turning bad things into good. Does that make sense? So you want, here's what I think you want, because here's what I want. I want to get to the other side of a trial, and I want to say, "Look at the good in that trial. Look, I found something to praise God about in that trial. There's virtue in that trial." Do you understand what I'm saying? Like this morning when I shared with you the struggle my wife went through and how I lost my mom to cancer, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I wouldn't want to go through that again. But you know what? By the grace of God, I found virtue and something to praise God about in that trial, and I shared it with you. If you want to get through a trial and find virtue and praise, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, guess what you need? You need to think about the right things. Because if you go into a trial and your mind is in the wrong place, you're not going to come out of that on the other side and have anything worth thinking about. You'll come out the other side and think, "What was the point of that trial?" It's no promise that everything's going to be good, but you can make lemonade out of lemons if you think right. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. if you want to get to the other side of a trial and have the faith to praise God for what He allowed you to experience, you must think on these things. And then he says in verse 9, he explains, like, what kind of things? Well, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Okay, what is this? This is forward-thinking action. This is action that's forward-thinking. Right? Does that make sense? Filtering, because he says, look, those things, let me see if we can put this together. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. So if you think about the right things, you're going to do them. We're talking about things we're going to do. Does that make sense? Forward-thinking action. Listen, filtering your mind of wrong thinking has a way of filtering your life of wrong actions. If you take out the wrong thinking, you take out the wrong actions. I don't know. I don't know too many brothers and sisters who get into fights when they're thinking positively about their siblings. Fights come when you begin to fester negativity in your mind about that brother who wore my pants today. Not that that's happened any time in my family. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to have right actions, do you know what right actions begin with? Right thinking. If you want to live a life where you're always thinking, I don't know how this happened to me. How did I get into this trouble? I'll tell you how. It began with your thought life and the people you're hanging around, because you sowed some seeds that are producing fruit. You need to think right. So, okay, listen. Filtering your mind of wrong thinking has a way of filtering your life of wrong actions. With our minds focused on the right things, the right actions will become clear. And typically, there are things we already know to do. Like what? Well, what does it say? Things we've learned. Is that what it says? Yes, that's what it says. You can help me out. Yes, that's what it says. Those things which ye have both learned. That's the first thing it says. There are no new truths with God. You know, if you're unfamiliar with church, maybe you're new to church, you're like, what is church about? This guy up here, he's weird. I don't know what's happening. We'll come back. You'll get someone normal next week. But I can tell what you won't get next week, especially in this church. You won't get a lot of different teaching. It's going to be a lot of the same things. It's going to be real basic truths repeated in different ways with different stories from different perspectives, but basically the same truths. Things you've learned. You know what I think I've heard? You could even boil down all the truths in Scripture down to two. All of them. Love God, love others. That's like the whole Bible. You just got the whole thing. These are things you've learned. So what kind of things should we do? The things you've learned. The things you've learned, right? This is so important. There are no new truths with God, just simple truths that need repeating. Things we've learned, and then it says, those things which you have both learned and received. Well, this is more than just the power of positive thinking. I don't want you, okay, everyone just think positively and your life is going to change. No, it's things we've received. Things we've received. These truths are real. This is more than just a head knowledge we've learned from Scripture. It's things we've received into our hearts. We have not received have we not received the promises of God time and again? Are there not promises in your life that you have received? Do you need an example? Okay, so you know the promise in Scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Is anyone familiar with that promise? It's a promise. And there's variations of it in Scripture, but it's true. To put God first in your life, particularly with your finances. That's a promise that God will take care of you. This couple of weeks, my son at college, he's struggling financially. He's got a job, and he's working hard, working for an accountant or a lawyer of such, doing paperwork and things of that nature. But he's a grunt, so he's not making a lot of money, you know, and school bills coming up to pay. And he's like, man, Dad, I don't know what to do. Now, I remember being in this exact scenario when I was in college. And mom calling and saying, hey, how's the school? We're like, mom, I'm struggling to make the bills. And you know what my mom wanted to do at that moment? Well, can we send you some money? And you know what I told my mom? No, mom, don't send me money. I want to see the Lord provide. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord provided. Amen. And here's my son. I can't believe I got a son in college. Wow, that's a whole nother story. But he's in college. He's 19 and he's in school. And he's trying to make ends meet and pay his school bill. And he calls this week and said, mom, you'll never believe it. Someone put $500 to my school bill account. Can you believe it? Like, yeah, I can believe it. Because scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's not something he's learned. That truth is now something he's received. He knows what it means. Things that we've both learned and received. He's like, if you were to ask my son, will God provide? He doesn't have to say, well, I've read in the Bible. He could say, well, no, I know. I've received that truth. Things that we both learned and received. And what's the next one? I'll wait till you want to say it. What is it? Heard. Yes. Have we not heard the testimonies of those who lived by right thinking? Hey, you just had some testimony time in here. Have you not read of Joseph and Moses and David who thought right and earned the fruit of their right thinking? That's what the Bible's for. So you like, man, I've heard about people trusting God and thinking right and having it benefit their life. So have I. I've heard testimonies from people in church just like this who raise their hands and say, I want to share a blessing of what the Lord's done for me. You've heard those things, haven't you? We have not been encouraged by hearing the message of faith from the preaching of Scripture and from the testimonies of other people. We need to keep giving our ears to right things. And then he says this, things you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Have you ever seen the truths of Scripture lived out in somebody else's life? I have. I met with a lady this week. Her name is Karen. And her husband, Grant, died this year. They were married almost 60 years. And she was asking about joining the church, so I went over there to join the church. I'm the pastor, but I'm young enough to be her son, at least, if not her grandson. I mean, she's up there in age. And I sit down to be pastor to her and to counsel her. And you know what happens every time I go over there? I start switching the conversation, and I want to be on the receiving end. So, Karen, how did you have such a great marriage? Tell me about what you and Grant did. You know why? Because every time I'm around her, I see in her someone who's lived by faith and reaped the benefits. I've seen it. It's obvious. Have you seen it? Okay, then. Here's what you do. Think on those things that you've both learned and received and heard and seen. And then what? Then do those things. Then do it. Do it. Do it. We need to still be doing all the blessed things right thinking brings to mind. Don't just hear, to sit in these pews and hear and then slough it off and not do anything about it when you leave makes you self-deceived, James says. If we become a hearer and not a doer of the word, we become self-deceived. But if you hear and then you go do, you're going to find a great offense for your heart and your mind. You're going to find that the more you do what Scripture says, the more you do what right thinking teaches you to do, the more you're going to find, I do have peace in my heart. Oh, wait, but more than peace, wait, time out. The end is even better than the halfway mark. Because at the halfway mark in verse 7, it says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Is that good? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good. But look at verse 9. At the end, it says this, and the God of peace shall be with you. Whoa, time out. not just the peace of God, but the God of peace himself shall be with you. Think right, do right, and have the God of peace, his presence with you. The God of peace will be with you, not just the peace of God, but God himself. So here's the question. Will we have the peace of God through trials? Let's take the we and replace it for you. Will you have the peace of God through trials? Well, that all depends on how well you guard your heart and mind. Will you stay in the will of God and keep moving forward? That all depends on how well we think and act. We've got to apply the defense. Look, be careful. Don't be filled with care. There's some things you need to clear out of your heart. But then there's a thought filter. There's some things you need to put in. You need to know how to put the right things into your mind and into your heart, and then live by those things. And if you do, you'll not only have the peace of God through trials, you'll have the God of peace. You don't have to know all the things in life to avoid. You just have to know the right things to think about. Once there was a ship threading its way through jagged islands when a lady on board asked the captain of the vessel if he knew where all the rocks and shoals were. "No, madame," he replied, "but I know where the deep water is." Instead of being preoccupied with the wrong things, we should turn our thoughts to the things that are true and sail our life by right thinking. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. You've given us a great defensive strategy for our heart and mind, and a great offensive strategy on how to put the right thoughts into our head. Lord, help us to apply this thought filter and then live by the dictates of right thinking, so that we may have not only the peace of God, but the God of peace himself. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have an invitation time. I'll give you one final.